Hi, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. You can reach us at www.traveladviceshow.com, and we have a show today, and we're going to talk about Auto Europe. And I'm Chris Newton, one of the co-hosts, and I'd like to introduce Jerry, my other co-host.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, doing good, Jerry. Thank you.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's Monday, November the 12th, and we have a fabulous show. We're very fortunate to have Frank Moulton of Auto Europe, which I'm going to have him give you the details. But my wife and I in Travel Advice, we've been using Auto Europe, I don't know, at least 30 years, probably more. And, we're going to have him tell you on the show because he can give you so much of it. And I think you'll be converted also. Welcome, Frank. We're thrilled to have you with us.
Hey, thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate this very much. I am Frank Moulton. I'm the regional sales manager for Auto Europe, and we're a little company that has 350 employees in Portland, Maine, and we're over 50 years in the business, and we're a very unique company. It's amazing, as I was just telling my co-hosts here, that we're the largest supplier of rental car business to Europe, and we don't own a car. We use others. We use the Hertzes, the Avises, the Europe cars, the Majoris, the Sixes, the Thrifties, and so forth. But because we give them so much business, they have to have a very sharp pencil. And so we guarantee you always have the lowest rate. And we will beat, if you find another rate, we will beat it, not match it. We will beat it, not by dollar, that's an insult. So that gives you an idea. We have no cancellation fee, no change fee, so you can book with us and then you want to change it later, fine. You want to get additional days, fine, we'll add the additional days. Even in the middle of the trip, you call us, because from whether you're booking cars in Australia or New Zealand or in Europe or in South Africa or wherever, you can call us on an 800 number into our Portland, Maine, where you're talking to an American, and you can talk to us, and we will be more than happy to give you additional days and handle you without any problem whatsoever.
One thing that I really like about Auto Europe is that not only do you give the best rates, I mean, it's not even worth shopping around anymore, just call Auto Europe and go for it, but you also have service that's impeccable. There's no other company in the world that will have that kind of service. We're talking about the 800 number. But another thing that I like about the service, if you have a problem while you're over there, for example, if you show up there and they don't have the car that you were promised, you want to talk about what happens on that? Because I know that happens a lot when you book cars in the world.
You just brought up one of the things that really bothers me now and then in the industry. Let's say you have a van. That's a limited supply and a very big car, big buy, and it creates a problem now and then. And so we'll say that we are using car A, company A, and they have a car, and you call up, and we give you the confirmation, and we look in company A's computer. Yes, they have it, and everything is fine. And then you show up. And when you go there, they say, I'm sorry, Jerry, but I don't have any cars left. I'll give you a station wagon. Now, you're looking at these five people in here with all their bags and suitcases and everything else. There's no way in heck you're going to be able to get all that in a station wagon. And but that's all they're going to offer you. So you just tell them, call Auto Europe. And they have to do it because they're on contract with us. They'll call Auto Europe. We will say, just a minute, we'll call company Z, and we will find that company Z has a van waiting right now. And we will say, Mr. and Mrs. Smith will be there in 5 minutes. Then I'll go back to you, and I will say, okay, Mr. Smith, you go walk all over there, take your voucher that says it's for company A, and you're going to go to company Z, and they will take care of you and say, here's your car, and we've solved the whole problem, and it takes 15 minutes. This is company service. This is you call up and you're on hold for more than a minute, we apologize profusely because it's unique. Mm-hmm. It's unique for us to do it. This is also why, because you say because of the service and the rates and everything else, why 95% of all the travel agents in the United States, particularly in my territory, the Rocky Mountain, use out of Europe all the time.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Well, one thing that I think our listeners would be interested in talking about is, and it's, sometimes it's a surprise, is drop charges. You want to talk about drop charges a minute and how to, is there a way to avoid drop charges, avoid them or to minimize them, or what, do you want to talk about that a minute? Because I think it's fascinating.
There's a number of ways to drop it. First of all, we don't have drop charges if you drop in the same country. Now, if you pick up your car in Luxembourg and you don't want to drop it back in Luxembourg, you got a problem. You're going to have a drop charge because even your nearest ones are going to be Brussels, Belgium, Freiburg in Germany, or in France, in Strasbourg and so forth. So all around Luxembourg. So I wouldn't suggest you pick it up in Luxembourg. You do a little planning so that you can start and end. Now, if you can, in the same country. Now, you can certainly do it by going in a smaller area, a shorter area. In other words, let's not pick up the car in Berlin and drop it off in Rome. Let's pick it up in Berlin and maybe, which is Germany, and drop it off in Zurich. Much closer. I mean, plan your itinerary around that and you won't get as heavy a duty a drop charge. Now, I have picked up a car when I went in Germany and I took the train from Germany over to Strasbourg in France, picked up the car, I went into Holland and went into Belgium and went into France, and I wandered all around, and then I got to Paris and I dropped my car. Mm. So I have no drop charge. Mm. And you want to pick up a, you want to see a big truck, pick it up in Portugal and drop it off in Rome.
Yep.
And we're talking four bills, drop charge. And if it's a big car, you know, a very high-end car, the drop charge gets a little higher, too.
Yes. Another thing I wanted to mention, how do I ask this question? Some things that I find, having rented many, many cars in Europe and all over the world, do you ever recommend, I mean, part of it's a drop charge, part of it's different things, for example, maybe even saving time. Do you ever recommend maybe renting a car in maybe Portugal and then maybe training to Nice, picking up a car in Nice in that area, maybe training to Rome, picking up a Roman, an Italian car? Does that ever, is that a reasonable thing to save money or anything? Or does it not save money? Is it not practical? What do you ever recommend something like that, or is that not worth it?
I would, Gary, I would certainly look into that without a question. But sometimes it's practical and sometimes it is not.
Right.
When you said Portugal, that's a long ways train ride to go and pick it up then going to France. Mm-hmm. So you got to go all through Spain too before you get there. You might want to pick up the car in Spain, run into Portugal, do your Spanish to go into France, and maybe drop in Perpignan or just over the border into Spain, jump on the train across the border for a couple of dollars, a couple of euro, and then pick up a French car. And you can go right up to the border. Now, you mentioned getting into Rome. Let's not drop our car then in this particular itinerary that you have mentioned. Let's try not to plan that so that you're going to go to Rome and drop it. That's a long ways. We do have, I have better solutions.
Okay.
If you are going to do that. For example, if you're going to rent the car for more than 17 days or more, then I have a program called Peugeot. It's a purchase, repurchase, or buyback, or lease. It's all synonymous. We will sell you the Peugeot car. Hmm. And you will pick it up at the Peugeot dealership or at the airport, they bring you in and so forth. And it's a brand new car right off the factory. It's your car. Now don't get scared that you're going to have to pay for a car. Let's just give you, I'll throw an example out. I'll just make up figures and make it simple for me, okay? Let's just say that there's 22 different models from a Lizzie tin can to the luxurious upper Mercedes type car. So let's say we get a car for $20,000. And let's say that you're going to keep that car for 6 weeks. Then we will say, okay, that's $1,000. So you are going to pay out of Europe $1,000. Now, Peugeot will ask you to sign this contract that Peugeot is going to loan you $19,000 so that you can pay Peugeot $19,000. So it's a paper transaction.
Sure.
Because you own the car. And they're going to license you as the owner. And they're going to give you 100% of the insurance with no deductible. So you're going to have PAI, you're going to have CDW, you're going to have theft, you're going to have liability, you're going to have all of that covered. And no VAT tax because you are not an EC member. And so you do not have to pay the VAT tax.
Mm.
So we have no taxes for you. Now, when you get this car and you picked it up, and let's go back to Portugal. I assume we have a dealership in Portugal. I'm not sure of that, but I know we do in Rome. And so they will take, Peugeot will take it to Rome, and Rome, he'll take that car, and he's going to turn around and sell it as a used car then. Does that make sense?
Makes beautiful sense.
And the fact that you only have to, if you have a older teenage person, 18 years of age, they can do it. 18 and no upper limit.
Wow.
You know, in Spain, you've got an upper limit. In Italy, you've got an upper limit in age.
Right. Ireland.
Ireland is very tough. That's 79. You can't rent a car. We have the Peugeot. We have no upper limit. I can't rent you a car at 18, 19, or 20, but I can sell you a car and purchase, repurchase, purchase, for all intents and purposes, is a rental. Right. A long-term rental.
Right.
Wow, that's amazing. Like, you can actually buy the car while you're driving and then return it with no problem. I have a good question, too. I was wondering, do you have to have a special license or an international license, or can you use your country's license? If you just have a regular U.S. license, do you have to get any special type of license?
That depends. Yes, no, and maybe. Am I giving you a very specific answer? First of all, in France, you don't need an international driver's license. That's what you're talking about.
Okay.
International driver's license, for all intents and purposes, is a 7 or 8 language translation of your license. Because if you showed up and you're in Czechoslovakia and the policeman there looks at your license and you're from Georgia, he doesn't understand that the state of Georgia in the United States issues the license, not the United States doesn't have a driver's license. But now you got Georgia in Russia.
Right.
Which are you from? And he won't understand. So in areas like that, yes, you should have a international driver's license. Now, when you come and rent from us, we're going to tell you, might say nothing to you about it in France or Germany or England. But we might say in Italy, it'd be nice if you had an international driver's license. In Spain, we might say it is recommended. We will still rent you the car without it, but it is recommended that you have it. You have to then decide. It's a very simple, you can buy it from any AAA office or the National Automobile Club. It's for $15. It's a very simple thing. You can go online. We can give you the addresses and the telephone numbers and so forth if you need it. And you just get it and you get this license and it's good for a year. I don't know why they only do a year, because your license is probably good for 5 more years. Mine is. So who's to say? Keep it on.
I have a question, because I've run into this my own personal self. Let's say you're going to be in Europe for a month or something, and you want to see a wide variety. And Are there any restrictions as to where you can rent the car and take the car? For example, if you want to see maybe old Eastern Europe countries that are now the new Eastern Europe countries, can you, what do you recommend on that? Can you just go anywhere you want with that car? Or do you have restrictions and do you know what they are? And do we know what they are when we rent them and all that?
First off, you bet we know.
Okay.
And it's an excellent question. Excellent question. Eastern Europe is really gone into zones 1 and 2, and I don't know all of it, but like Eastern Germany now is Germany, so we don't have any problem. Czechoslovakia, we don't have that much problem with, but maybe we do in Bosnia or in Croatia and so forth. So if you are renting a compact car, I don't have any problem with you. I can rent you a compact car or a mid-sized car in France, in Germany, in Holland, in Italy, in Germany, in Switzerland, in Austria, and you can take it over to the Eastern countries, but you have to bring it back.
Mm. And no drop.
No drop. Now, if you wanted to rent the car over there in Hungary, I can rent you a car in Hungary. No problem. And it will be a Hungarian car. Mm-hmm. Might not be a very nice Volkswagen, but it's a Hungarian car. And yes, you can do it. And I'm sure that we're going to say to you that yes, you have to have an international driver's license for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, without pulling up my computer and looking and seeing what we have. But we're going to tell you about it. In fact, that's one of the questions we ask you. Are you planning on going to Eastern Europe? If you say no, end of the story. If you say yes, now, let's talk about another part. I said a compact. What if you had a Mercedes? Mm. Mercedes 320. Let's really go up into the luxury class. There's no way that you're going to go into there.
I know.
No way. Know. That car will be stolen so fast it will make your head spin. That's right. And so we won't have you use that. That will be a restriction. And then some of the car dealerships, the very higher-end cars, might be a restriction in Italy. Because, you know, we go into collision damage waiver. Right. I'm just going into that right now because that brings up that subject. And you get CDW and theft. And we insist, when that's we, it's not only us, but it's Hertz and Avis and your car and all the people we use, all insist that we have to have you have to buy collision and theft insurance in Italy because your credit cards won't cover you. And that brings another subject, which I'll get to in a second. And so because of that, this is why we will charge you extra for that. And we won't have you put in the extra. Mm. Yeah, when you look at it, if you weren't going online with AutoEurope.com, you would look at the Italy, or you say you go to France, look at France, and it will be inclusive and basic. Mm. Or basic first and then inclusive. Inclusive means with CW and theft. When you look in Italy, it's inclusive, inclusive, and inclusive. All cars are inclusive. There are certain other places that are like that. Does that answer that?
Yes.
While we were talking about CDW, I'm just going to give you a little tip for this. As far as CDW and theft, we strongly urge you to call your credit card company that you are going to use to rent this car and ask them, do you cover CDW and theft? I'm going to say roughly 90% will, but I don't know, and I don't know if yours is, and I'm not a license to sell you insurance that way. And so I want you to call. It's up to you to call and ask your company. And if they say, yes, we have it, and yes, the deductible, and yes, the amount of days that you're going to rent the car, and the size car you have, and you tell them that, and what countries you're going to tell you that, then you'll have no problem. Then you don't want to buy collision damage from us. I'm saving you money.
Right.
But if you can't get it, then you have to, I urge you, in the strongest language, always have one way or another CDW theft. Now people say, what about my American passport? I mean my American car insurance. That's fine if you are renting cars. Maybe it's fine. I'm not positive. You call your insurance company for that. But it will cover the U.S. Maybe it will cover in Canada. There could even be a couple of companies that maybe give you the first 100 miles in New Mexico and cover you there. That's your personal. But when it goes overseas, I personally have never heard of a local American insurance that you and I, all three of us have on our cars, that it will cover you over there. But I'm not saying that is a positive, of course.
Yeah, do you have a tip, you know, just for our listeners, you know, for first time kind of going to Europe? And was there any things that they should kind of prepare for to rent a car? You know, any type of information that you could give our listeners, you know, for, you know, kind of first time or just wanting to really kind of explore Europe more? Like they've been on the train, they've done all the public, now they really want to kind of, you know, get out there, Frank?
Well, there's a number of things that they can do. Of course, let's just talk first of all why you should have rent a car because of the flexibility. You know, you're driving along and you're on a train and you see a beautiful chateau up there,
yeah.
And you're past it. You're driving along, you see that beautiful chateau. You look in the Michelin guidebook and say, "Oh, that's the 16th century. It's open to the public," and up you go, and you drive up there and you see it. And you wouldn't have planned on it, but you just spend another 15, 20 minutes or 30 minutes, 40 minutes looking at that before you keep going on your journey. So that from that standpoint, that's fine. And that's why we talk about renting cars, why the flexibility that we have. And if you've got three people or more, it's probably going to be a lot cheaper to rent a car than it is to buy a rail ticket, right, per se. It's fine if you're going to go over to Europe and you're going to visit London, and then you're going to visit Paris, and then you're going to visit Zurich, and you're going to Frankfurt, but you don't give diddly squat between the community, the area in between. Well, okay, then take the train. But if you would like to visit and see some of this beautiful countryside and visit the smaller towns and visit the people and get to know them and see the festivals and get to go to marketplaces and all of that type of stuff and taste a little wine if you're so inclined, this is something that then you want to have a car. Mm-hmm. And that's what you can do. So with that in mind, let me start out by saying what you shouldn't do. The worst thing you can do is to wait until you get to your destination and go up to the car company, HCEB company, and say, "I want a car. I want a compact car." And they're going to say, "Oh, okay." And of course you have to buy insurance and you have to do this. And they're going to charge you the European rate, per se. Now the better place to do that would be to go to the companies X, Y, and Z and in the U.S. and say to them, "I want one of your cars," it will say in France, "I want to pick it up in Paris." Okay. You're going to get an American rate. But the insurance and all that will still be extra and high. A much better thing would be to come to a broker like myself and where I am going to say, "Okay, you want a car here to here. What kind of car do you want? What do we have here? By the way, have you thought about the insurance?" And then you have been calling company A, but maybe company H or company E is cheaper on that given days, on that type of car that we've decided to have. And I am going to say to you, "Let's do E because E is cheaper than A on this given situation." And so I am giving you a much better deal. I'm also going to recommend to you, which the others won't do, look at your credit card company and see if they're going to cover you before I sell you insurance. And I'll sell you insurance at a 30% discount from what you would get from them, but I'm not in it. I would rather save you the money and not do that. That's what I'm in here for. So anyway, does that make sense to you?
It does.
Yes, it does, yeah.
I think we ought to spend a little bit of time on actually driving in Europe, because most people I mean, may not think about it, like you just rent a car and go driving. You want to talk something about the rules and driving habits and customs and things that might be different than, say, Canada, North America, or even Australia, because I know Australian rules are very interesting. But you want to talk a little bit about driving in Europe?
Sure.
To be safe about it?
Of course I will. It's very simple. When you are driving, first of all, they drive on the same side we do, except UK, Ireland, and then, as you said, Australia, New Zealand. But otherwise, they drive the same as we do. When you are on the auto route, remember it's in kilometers, not in... And so when you're doing 100 kilometers an hour, you're not driving 100 miles per hour. You're only driving 66, 62, 64 miles per hour when you're doing that. So you have to remember that it's... Take a third of whatever the number is. If 150, then you're doing 100 miles per hour. And you've got the outer routes going in there. The speeds are a little faster. In France, for example, it's 145 K per hour. In 135, pardon me. In Italy, it's 145. In Germany, it's unlimited. And what you have to remember, when you drive, we tend in the States, we will pass and we'll get over in that left lane. We're going to be moving right along. So we stay over there. No, you don't do that in Europe. You come over to the left lane, you pass and you get back in. Because here comes another guy that's going to go hell-bent for election and he's going to go past you. That's okay. He goes past you. Now you're ready to pass this truck that's coming up here. You come out at the left, you go, but then you get back in. That's the key. In the state of Colorado, we're supposed to be ticketing. Mm. To do that.
But
European. Yeah, mm-hmm. European is the way to go. And that makes it much easier to do that. Does that answer your question?
That's part of it. One thing I wanted to mention, I mean, is it less or more challenging, the same, for example, drive in Spain, Italy, Germany? Are there any idiosyncrasies of some of the countries that are really idiosyncrasies that if you don't know, you could find yourself in an accident or anything like that?
I don't think it's... If you're a very timid driver here in the States, if you're timid in Salt Lake City, where we are now, or I'm from Denver, if you're timid here, there, you're going to be timid in Europe. Mm-hmm. But there's no question, driving in Paris or London or Rome or Athens...
Right.
That's another story.
Just don't do it.
I suggest that you get out of town.
Right.
And I don't suggest that you rent the car to drive around within the large city. If you're going to be in there, you get off the airplane, you're going to stay in Rome for 3 days, 4 days, mm-hmm. before you go out and visit the rest of Italy, don't rent the car.
Right.
Stay in there. Now when you're ready to go, you're ready to now get out and you're going to go up to Tuscany and Umbria and so forth and so on and visit all that great areas up there. Then you get the car and you drive right out of town. Mm-hmm. And you'll have no problem. They drive the same in big cities in New York, they use a horn. Paris, they use a horn. London, they use a horn. Italy, they sure use a horn. But
and other parts of the body.
Whatever. But anyway, that is something that, you know, that you can do. And it's very simple. Right. If you're basically a comfortable driver, mm-hmm. then you will have no problem.
Very good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Is it legal to take a car from the continent to Great Britain, for example, or vice versa? Do you rent cars like that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Because of the driver's yeah. license, the driving is on the other side. Your steering wheel is, as you're facing from the back to the front, is not on the left-hand side, it's on the right-hand side. Because you are going to drive on the left-hand side. And when you come up and you're going to make a left turn, you don't circle way out and go down the next street. You hug the curb and go around, going to a left turn. And in the right turn, you go way out instead of hugging the turn like we do in the States. Mm. That's the only thing, UK and so forth. Right. Otherwise, no problems.
Okay. All right. Well, Frank, we do want to thank you very, very much. Your information has been phenomenal. And, One thing about it, I think we should mention about the difference in cost of automatic transmission and standard transmission. Do you want to talk about that?
Very quickly, it's very simple. We, the car companies, will get rid of their A, B, and C cars or their economy, compacts, and mid-sized cars every 90 days or 3 months, 4 months at a time. And when they sell them, the Europeans do not want to buy automatic because they want, with gas being so high, that they want to get as best mileage they can, and that's an automatic, that's a standard manual shift. That, therefore, the car companies don't get the same money back that they would if they, it was a manual. So they have to make it up by getting higher rental before they put it out on the market.
And it's quite higher, isn't it? It's a lot higher to get it automatic in most cases. Or don't, that we found that going automatic can almost, and, well, usually the bigger cars have the automatic, the more luxurious and larger, so you're paying more. But we have found that it can increase it 20-30% just because it's automatic.
That is true, but 20% of $150 is only $30.
Yeah.
And that's what it might be on a compact car. Whereas a full-size car, which is $450, mm-hmm. well, now we're talking, you know, a $90 difference.
Right.
I'm just using that as a, right, 20, right. As a 20% market. Every car in every country has a little bit different rates and so forth. But we will talk you through that and make that decision. Or that your travel agent will certainly know that and will discuss with you, do I want a compact? You never want economy. That's a loss leader. It's a cheap car. It's fine if you have one or two people and you're going to stay in the metro area and not get on the freeways. But compact cars and on up, you get $20 more in a week. For a car, for a compact car, and when you go do that, you have no problem whatsoever. You jump on the freeways and the expressways. They're not free usually. The expressways, and you have enough power to jump on the lanes and get off the lanes. And midsize, which we are used to, you know, you still have no problem at all. Or you get the full size, like a Honda Accord would be for us. And if you use there again, you have no problems at all. But the prices go up a little bit each time.
Do they ever? But it's good. Well, Frank, we do thank you very, very much. Tremendous amount of information. Our listeners will be very happy to have it.
Yeah, Frank, thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm excited. Yeah, I'm going to go to Europe and rent a car. And
from
AutoEurope.com. Yeah. And
I actually do it through a travel agent. It's really good to do it through a travel agent because they can help save you a lot of time and give you a lot of this information. And always ask for Auto Europe because they're fabulous.
Yeah, the agent is going to mention everything that I've mentioned and everything we didn't have time to cover.
Right.
Details, all the ins and outs and so forth. They will, a good travel agent is going to help you out and be a tremendous asset to you.
Well, very good. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you, Frank.
Thank you.